We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m. And if you miss us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we out here. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, House Party, YouTube, Twitch, Black Planet. Did somebody say OnlyFans? MySpace, Tinder, catch us ticking on the talk and Google Plus.
In this episode, we'll be putting you up on Ahmaud Arbery, killers being denied bond, and people still rallying for Trump.
America's first female vice president, and UPS to relax restrictions on black natural hair.
But first, let's jump into Oregon governor issuing a statewide freeze. Governor Kate Brown has issued a two-week freeze statewide starting this Wednesday, November 18th, until December 2nd, in hopes of reducing the spread of COVID-19. Oregon isn't the only state. The whole West Coast, including California and Washington, have also jointly announced new guidance on travel. They're asking residents to eliminate all non-essential travel and to self-quarantine for 14 days when returning from outside their home states. Unfortunately, for some of us, the new restrictions will last longer than 2 weeks. In Multnomah County, it'll be 4 weeks. With the holidays around the corner and more indoor gatherings, the numbers in Oregon have increased to 1,076 cases as of this past Friday, along with 7 new deaths. Let's all continue to work together as a community, a state, and a nation to stop the spread of COVID. Here's a few things off the list we can and can't do starting Wednesday. Can't do's. Eat or drink inside a restaurant or bar. The new restrictions require Oregon restaurants and bars to return to takeout only. Cannot do: attend events at any major venue, whether indoor or outdoor. Cannot do: visit loved ones in a long-term care facility. The order once again prohibits such contact in an attempt to limit exposure to vulnerable populations. Can do: gather indoors or outdoors with 6 or fewer people from no more than 2 households. Can do: find emergency shelters. The freeze will not affect operations at congregate shelter settings across the state. Can do: drop your kids off at child care. Programs that are currently operating may continue under the same safety precautions, including youth programs. Can do: go to school. Schools with approval for in-person classes may continue at the K-12 level, including K-12 sports that are currently allowed. Same goes for students who are in higher education or participating in Division I programs with current approval. For a full list of things we can and can't do, visit OregonLive.com.
Man, we saw this coming, though. Like, we definitely saw this coming. I'm actually glad it's a 4-week and not a 2-week.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, people just got to sit it on down. And I really wish this had been done a little bit sooner to kind of brace people for this holiday season. Because already, you know, people are going to do what they want to do. They're still going to gather. But if we could have, like, you know, just been talking about this over and over again and kind of prep people to come up with some alternative ideas and plans for the holidays. You know, don't be traveling. Don't be gathering people together for Thanksgiving. Like, that's drawing. And then holiday shopping, man, I saw some videos of people at the mall. Not Gucci.
You know, pay that extra $30 a month on your internet speeds and just zoom it up a little bit more than usual. I know it's not the same. I get it. But, I mean, that $30 versus the cost of a hospital stay or worse, a nice little box. So.
Straight up. So fingers crossed, please, y'all, please, please, please try to stay in compliance with the governor's issues and restrictions. Like, it's not worth it. Guess what? Thanksgiving will come around again next year, and so will Christmas. And hopefully we'll be in a much better place than we are this year. Okay, up next, America's first female vice president, Kamala Harris. California Senator Kamala Harris made history this election, with numerous of firsts for the vice presidency. As a daughter of immigrants from India and Jamaica, she will be the first woman, the first black person, the first Indian American, and the first Asian American to hold the office. She will also, right? She will also be the first graduate of a historically black college and the first member of a black sorority to do so. Many photos were shared across social media that showed young girls watching Harris cross the stage. A message that shows women to see a reflection of themselves reaching some of the highest positions in government. Senator Cory Booker, one of only three black senators, also marked the historic milestone for Harris. "I feel like our ancestors are rejoicing," he wrote. "For the first time, a black and South Asian woman has been elected vice president of the United States. My sister has made history and blazed a trail for future generations to follow. It's a historic moment for many women across the country, but especially for black female activists who pushed Joe Biden to name a black woman as his running mate. Black women were a key constituency that helped deliver Biden the Democratic nomination, though activists say the contributions of black women have often been overlooked and taken for granted." Barbara Lee, the congresswoman from Oakland, California, shared her thoughts, saying, "Black women have always been the backbone of this Democratic Party and oftentimes not valued for our ability to lead. But I tell you now, black women are showing that black women lead and will never go back to the days where candidates only knew our value in terms of helping them get elected. Now they'll see how we govern from the White House. We hope this moment in history further motivates women of color to know it's possible and no big dream is ever too big." Major accomplishment, man. Major accomplishment.
Yeah, I watched some of the montage video clips of the young girls watching that walk.
Yeah.
And it did some things.
Yeah, man.
To my heartstrings.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Like, we all had our issues, you know, with a lot of things that happened during this election. And there is no perfect candidate. But there's an element to her being the vice president, and there's a joy in that that I'm not prepared to steal from anyone, regardless of, you know, policy issues that I might have with her. So, you know, major shout outs to that. Like, this is black excellence. Let's enjoy this moment and stay ever vigilant, stay ever involved in the political process, and, you know. Hey, January's around the corner. We got that boy up out of there. Got that thing, that man child up out of there.
And, you know, just to end that piece of going back to that photo of her in the shadow of Ruby Bridges.
Yeah.
That artist, that's everything.
Yeah.
There's something so profound about that image.
Yeah, they killed
and
that.
To know what that was and what is.
Real talk.
Well, next up. Ahmaud Arbery's killers are denied bond.
Hello.
A judge on Friday denied bond for both Gregory and Travis McMichael, the father and son duo charged with murder in Arbery's death. Following a two-day hearing in Glynn County Court in Georgia, prosecutors played a voicemail that Gregory, a former investigator for the Brunswick Judicial Circuit District Court Attorney's Office, had left for his former boss, Jackie Johnson, the local district attorney. Gregory called his former boss from the crime scene in an attempt to influence and obstruct the investigation. Arbery was shot while he was out for a jog in a residential neighborhood near Brunswick, Georgia, on February 23, 2020. He was shot with a shotgun three times, twice in the chest. Gregory and Travis McMichael, two of the three suspects facing malice, murder, and felony murder charges, appeared for their bond hearing and got denied bond as they should have. Amen. A Chatham County Superior Court judge denied bond for a third white man involved in the fatal shooting, saying William Roddy Bryan was a potential flight risk. Arbery's mother, Wanda Cooper Jones, shared some words following McMichael's bond hearing in which she mentions, "I'm relieved they'll stay behind bars." She told reporters, "Today was a good day." A day earlier, she read an emotional statement in court. "In the name of justice, decency, and fairness, please keep these men behind bars until they can answer for what they did." Cooper Jones pleaded with the judge. Ahmaud wasn't allowed to go home. Ahmaud wasn't even allowed the chance to live. The deadly confrontation gained national attention after Brian's video was leaked to the public and posted online in May. Arbery's death became part of the national outcry that forced a national reckoning on race and police brutality after the killings of Breonna Taylor in Louisville and George Floyd in Minneapolis.
Man, I'm glad that the family's speaking out like that and giving that type of reaction. You know, too often, you know, we experience a reaction of forgiveness and you know, just them wanting to get the the incident behind them in the most, you know, peaceful way. Let's just move on. And nah, man, keep them murderers right where they're supposed to be. Like, don't get them, you know, don't like, what you don't want to do is get people feeling like false hopes, you know?
Yeah.
Don't get them feeling like they can go out and rejoin society. No. Where you are now is where you're going to be for the rest of your life. So
get familiar.
Start getting people's addresses so you can start writing them. You know, like do all the things. Get your workout
start
routine
with the regimen.
Down. Yes, get the regimen down. Start making friends. Mm-hmm. Start making friends. Find out which white nationalist groups you're going to be hanging with while you're in there. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know, maybe you're going to go Muslim. I don't know. I'm not sure. Hmm. But let's start getting you familiar with where you're supposed to be. Because, man, I'm so glad bail was denied. Bond was denied. Because how often do we see it going the other way?
That part.
Yeah. Well, to no surprise, people are still rallying for Trump. You don't say. Trump isn't the only one taking the loss of a potential second term hard. His supporters, the MAGAs, are still fighting for him to be the presidential winner. Thousands of Trump supporters rallied in Washington on Saturday behind his spurious claim of a stolen election. The crowd in Washington was beginning to gather Saturday morning when cheers rang out as Trump's limousine neared Freedom Plaza, and they chanted, USA, USA, and four more years. Many carry American flags and signs to show their displeasure with the vote tally. The marchers included members of the Proud Boys, a neo-fascist group, known for street brawling with ideological opponents at political rallies. The march was largely peaceful during the day before turning tense at night with some confrontations along the margins as counter-demonstrators heckled the Trump supporters with chants of, "You lost." Multiple police lines blocked Trump supporters from entering the Black Lives Matter Plaza area as night fell. Those who managed to get inside the area were doused with water and saw their MAGA hats and pro-Trump flags snatched. It's clear that the numbers don't lie, and Trump indeed lost his chance at a second term. When you're fueled,
about to lose your job.
When you're fueled with that hate, with that type of hate, it affects half, if not more, of a nation. You're bound to lose. Because during the election, black and brown folks showed up and made their votes be heard and counted. States that once were red and flipped blue, such as Arizona and Georgia. Arizona hasn't been blue since 1996, and Georgia hasn't been blue since 1992, making this a major win for Democrats in these states. January can't come fast enough. Yo.
You're about to lose your job.
I need the house remix of that. I need Mike Will Made It to do a little flip. Like, I need all the versions of that.
I need the stems.
Yeah,
I can make a remix.
Right. Send them stems over. Yo, but here's the crazy part. Like, Fox News and other right-leaning news organizations like OWN, they reported a million people showed up. Sir.
Maybe a couple grand.
Bruh. They're saying roughly
a million.
Yeah. Roughly 10K showed up. There's a huge difference between 10,000 and a mil. Huge.
Not even a dozen thousand.
Facts. Like, what are y'all talking about? And like you and I were talking before, there's signs, there's photos all over social media before and afters, people taking down their Trump flags and taking off their Trump decals.
How it started and how's it going?
Right. And my whole thing is, hey, why are you taking it down? That's your boy. Rep your set. I mean, a Trump flag is akin to the Confederate flag. They're both loser flags. You had no problem waving one loser flag. Just add another loser flag and keep that thing going. Like, why hide? Why hide?
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is, going back into hiding. Mm-hmm. Now you can blend.
Right. Mm-mm. Just know this.
Nah.
Let me go on the
go
record.
Go ahead and hit the highlights.
Right.
Highlights.
Right. Let me go on the record. Any of you African-American, any people of color that were very, very vocal with your support of Donald Trump, I remember. I will continue to treat you as such. So keep it moving, B.
Well, in a little more positive note,
yeah.
UPS is to relax restrictions on black natural hair. The United Parcel Service, UPS, is the latest company to relax restrictions on natural black hairstyles. The shipping giant announced its new policy on Tuesday, November 10th, which allows employees to sport afros, cornrows, I hate that word, braids, and other hairstyles native to black Americans. The changes would also eliminate gender-specific rules and permit business-like piercing, reports CBS MoneyWatch. A spokesperson for the company told the news outlets that it's easing the restriction on workers' appearance because it wants them to feel more comfortable when interacting with customers. The change would apply to all 528,000 of the company's global employees, including delivery drivers. Our updates allow for a wider array of hairstyles, facial hair, and other personal appearance preferences, and are another example of our people-led strategy to make UPS an even better place to work, the company said in a statement. In addition to relaxing hairstyle restrictions, beards will also be permitted. Previously, individuals had to be clean-shaven to work as a delivery personnel. The latest policy change is in an attempt to be more inclusive and reduce the amount of instances of racial discrimination. A 2019 survey of 2,000 U.S. women ages 25 through 64, sponsored by Dove, found that black women are 1.5 times more likely to be sent home from work because of their hair. The survey also found that black women polled were 80% more likely to change their natural hair to fit in and less likely to get a job interview if they wear their hair in a curly afro or braids. Other American companies have also previously updated their policy to be more inclusive with hairstyles, including Hyatt and One United Bank.
I mean, I'm glad this is happening, but it's right. Still crazy to that think, yeah, to think that that's even the thing. Like, you're being sent home for the hair that's attached to your body, for your actual
that
hair.
That grows out of the body.
That grows
not even
out.
Just attached.
Right.
There is our attachments.
Of course.
The hair that naturally produced from the follicles.
Right. Did you hire me for my competency or did you hire me for my hair? Like I'm confused.
Especially as many times as I've been in the office and clearly Todd woke up,
bruh,
threw some water and ran his fingers through,
straight through
and just showed up.
Yeah.
And just showed up. There's never been an issue with that. So I mean I'm glad again that things are happening, right? Progress is being made.
Right.
But it I think it's always a moment of like, why is this a conversation? Why is
right.
this something that we've got to push? And it makes us a company seem more for the employee as opposed to like this is human stuff.
Exactly, exactly, yo.
We're not talking about pink hair, like
right.
That there may have some leverage, right? That's more of a personal display of whatever.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Well, slow clap.
Yeah, slow clap for them. I will say this, though. The more I see these types of changes happening and these major corporations and companies making these types of changes, on one hand, yes, it's a move in a positive direction. On the other hand, it's a reminder of how dehumanized they've been treating us. And that's what strikes me more. It's like, it's easier to forget, like, you're black. You wake up black in America every single day. And the differences in the way we're treated and the way society respects us is commonplace. But when it becomes a major discussion point, it's a reminder like, oh, like, y'all really look at me as something else. Like you, man, oh, this is institutionalized. The way that you think about me is crazy. Right. Like the idea that women can't just show up with their hair however they want because they're black. That's wild. Like, yeah. So,
and, and I guess this is also a container of that where you think about the conversations they get had, for natural hairstyle wearers, natural hair, especially on women of African descent. There's a lot of range to it.
Oh, yeah.
And, think of the conversations they get had. I think as an adult male with dreadlocks, the conversations I've had to have.
Yeah.
about my hair
Facts.
In the workplace.
Facts.
The questions that are, in my mind, very redundant and conversations are like, why is this so hard to grasp the concept of how this works?
Right. And why is it even your business?
Now take it to a press. Yeah. But take it to, you know, a hair being pressed versus, you know, a nice twist out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after wash, just letting it do its thing, like, and it being like awe inspiring. And I get curiosity and things of that nature, but sometimes the back and forth and the, is it a wig? Is it
right.
fake? Is it like nobody's, I just feel like a lot of those things never happen in the reverse way.
Of course.
And that's
of course
where it gets a little,
you know what? There wouldn't have to be so much curiosity and amazement in our natural hair if they didn't try to make us hide it for so long. This is your fault that you got all these questions. Let people exist. Period. Like, what's wrong with y'all, man?
THATPART exclamation point.
Well, look, we'll make sure y'all check in with us every Monday at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. as we sit down and run up the numbers.
Run up the numbers.
Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron needs to resign.
Hosted by Ken Jones and DJ Ambush.
Brett Hankinson needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
Special thanks to our researchers and writers, Shireen Hassan, Sham Shawan, Hannah, Alicia, Claudia Claudio, and Joseph Watson.
Miles Cosgrove needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
Music by Seas.
Jonathan Mattingly also needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death. We're going to keep running
and keep
this.
Y'all in the house.
Please stay in
for
the house.
For the next few weeks.
Yo, don't let me see
you
y'all.
You can bleep that part. You can bleep that.
Now we're going to let that rock. We out.